Okay, here we are back. And for those of you who had trouble last hour getting the hour, I hope it wasn't a whole lot. We did get some communication about that. These are not coincidences. Whatever kind of interruptions you're having are most likely intentionally perpetrated. And it's too bad. But that's the way the world is now, at least this country. And the country we live in. It's not our country anymore, certainly governmentally. Geopolitically, it has nothing to do with us. It's not. It's pure evil. That's what it is. All right. It's Dick Allgaier night. Once a month, we get to spend time with Dick, one of the great remote viewers in history, who I think is a little bit of sound like you were in a gale there for a moment. Wind. Are you all right?
Yeah, I had my fan on because it's kind of hot here. Is it okay now?
Yeah, you turned the fan off.
Here, I can turn it back and see if that was it. Let's see. That sounds like I'm in a gale. Yeah.
Not
Good,
like it
really
was. It
good.
sounded like
Yeah, okay.
there it
Oh,
is.
wait, let me there. Okay,
That's
that's
it.
off. Yeah.
Yeah,
Well, it's
okay.
I'll keep my studio quiet. My studio. My messy
Your
office. Here I am.
studio on the 29th floor with a view of San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego, right?
That's right, because the earth is flat. And so if you
That's
get up
right.
high enough, you can see all the
Don't
way. You don't
forget
have to be
that.
up very high. You can
No.
be at ground level, and if you have a good telescope, I can see Los Angeles because the ocean is dead flat. And if on the other side you can see the edge and you see ships sail and fall off.
They go right off. You can see the propeller as they go over the edge. Yeah, everything. I know.
You know,
And
I know
don't forget.
some otherwise pretty intelligent people that buy that. Yeah. It was like the people that control this place said, let's just see the stupidest thing we can make people believe and see if they'll pass it around. It's like, okay, the earth is flat. And then people buy into that. They go, oh, it really is. And we'll probably get some email. People are probably emailing you right now. Dick, you should really look at this evidence. Like, the earth is flat. Yeah.
Don't forget that doctors Cowan and Kaufman have also convinced a lot of people that there are no such things as viruses. And Jane Ruby and Dr. Lee Merritt a couple of weeks ago announced that there are no such things as spike proteins. So there's a lot
Oh.
of insanity running loose out there, and you're certainly welcome to believe whatever you want, but understand that there are people pushing some pretty crazy stuff. And it's
Yeah,
all by design.
and the CIA investigated remote viewing and found that it didn't really work, that there was nothing to it, and they wasted about $20 million, and so they dropped it, and no one's ever using remote viewing because it was a failure. Yeah. Right.
Oh, man. Well,
It's crazy. So I was doing some exercises over the weekend. I started seeing flashes in my left eye and floaters. I was, oh man. I
have you had
like a
floaters
little
before?
I've had floaters before and they went away, but never flashes. So I Googled, I get on to look up flashes. It says, go to an emergency room immediately. And I was like,
Oh, come on. That's
okay.
the last place you want to go.
Yeah. And
Sorry.
so then I'm swimming with a doctor who is a retired emergency room. I said, is this serious, floaters and flashes? And he said, ah, you should get that checked out. I think he goes, I don't remember exactly the protocol on that. But so I called today and went to the clinic, and they put some stuff in my eyes to dilate them and looked in. My eyes haven't been that dilated since the last Grateful Dead concert I went to, but that's a
Yeah,
whole other story.
that LSD will do it every time.
It certainly will. Yeah.
But
The
don't worry, Dick did not inhale. Don't worry.
I didn't inhale the LSD. I took it
No.
sublingually. So,
Well, those little blotter, remember the little blotter squares?
yeah. I'm getting to
Ink
the point of my
blotters.
life where I don't. I nobody can really, I can tell the truth about things. Yeah. You know, I heard last night, I saw on YouTube an interview with Jerry Garcia in Hawaii. And I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. And I fast forwarded to like 21 minutes. And here's Jerry Garcia going, well, you know, Dick Allgaier said, and Jerry Garcia quoted me to this interviewer and said something I said. And I was like, wow, that's kind of the high point of my life to me. I mean, being a good remote viewer, that's one thing, a newscaster, but having Jerry Garcia quote you.
That's pretty amazing.
I've recorded that. Put that out somewhere.
Yeah, make a little digital touchstone with it. Put it up.
Yeah,
that's nice.
So anyway, I went and they dilated my eyes and looked in, shine flashes and everything, and my eyes are okay. I don't have a detached retina. That's the fear. It's just your gel gets a little loose when you get old.
I would suggest that there's a hell of a lot of information on the internet now, and you can, if you put in your symptoms, you can come up in many cases with an absolutely correct diagnosis.
Yep.
Do your own work. Yep. In other words, don't trust somebody else who is not vested in your really isn't care. They don't care. They're in it for money. So anyway, do your own research to back up whatever they tell you.
Okay. Speaking of, you know, I've had that dizziness and problem for quite a while.
Yeah, a couple of years anyway.
A lady at the beach, and I went and had MRIs. I had this and that. I had my ears checked. I've gone through everything. And a lady at the beach said, I'm going to a physical therapist. And she described the symptoms, like you're dizzy, disoriented, your eye, and this and that. And when you go into a store, it makes you kind of panic attack. And I go, yeah. So she said, you got to see this physical therapist, this guy named Emoto, who's a young Japanese guy in Waikiki. So I went and saw him. He stood me in a corner, had me close my eyes, put my hands on my shoulders. I'm falling over. And he twisted my head, had me move my eyes, and did a whole bunch of tests. And he said, your inner ear on the left side has a problem with vestibular. So he started giving me exercises, and I've been doing them. And it seems to be improving. Mm-hmm. So that's the...
Well, there's so much going on now. It's not the traditional biophysiological world we live in anymore. It's contaminated with toxins, toxicity, EMF, which you live in, a terrible EMF environment, except when you're asleep. And hopefully, I don't want to pry, but I'm hopeful that you're going to get out of there fairly soon now because of the expected turnaround of a certain commodity.
Yeah, so cryptos are going up. Cryptos are looking good. We're in a bull market. It's all right. So I should be okay.
Let's hope you do more than that. All right. Anyway.
Speaking of the decarbonization of humanity, I don't know if you talked... If you had this on with Erica last night, our friend just sent me to this. Over 1 in 3 people, this is from the World Health Organization, and not that we believe them, but the World Health Organization is putting out something. Over 1 in 3 people affected by neurological conditions, the leading cause of illness and disability worldwide. A major new study released by the Lancet Neurology shows that in 2021, more than 3 billion people worldwide were living with a neurological condition.
I got the same thing from him, too, and I'm wondering what those stats would have said if they had been accurately somehow collected in 2019.
Yeah.
Just 2 years earlier. So in 2021, remember the end of 2020 is when they began injecting people. Right, the virus was out. That's a bioweapon too. So in 2021, that's sort of the second year of it. More than 3 billion people were living with a neurological condition. I wonder what the norm was. They don't go into that too much, but.
Well, there are a lot of people getting ill and dying here recently. I know a lot of surfers. One of my surfing friends just said, "Yeah, two more guys just died." So,
Really? So you're it's hitting home again. That's sad. Are these older guys?
They're old. They're 60s and 70s, but I mean, maybe that's to be expected. I don't know. Or a
Well,
lot of
I
people
don't
have
know.
gotten
Nobody
sick in the
knows
last
the
couple of
actual number.
years because of their little treatment that they got. So.
Well, if they're shot up, then that pretty well answers the story. Their lives have at least been shortened. That's what I would say.
Yeah, unfortunately. Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad.
All
So,
right, we have,
you
go
want to talk
ahead.
about Maria Orsic? We
Well, you have anything else you want to say first?
two months ago, we put that up inadvertently. I showed it to you privately, and you put the link up, which was nice, but it was meant for our private subscribers. But I just decided last week, you know what? The world needs to see that. And so I said, let's just give it out. So I gave it to you, and it's up now, and it's on YouTube. And it was one of my better moments in remote
Well, that's
viewing.
saying a lot. You've had a lot of better moments. Go to guests, and tonight's guest, click here and look for Dick Allgaier, and you'll see one link under his name there, Remote Viewing Maria Orsic. Now, this is a video. It's a YouTube video, and it shows Dick going through a phenomenal, rather normal in its protocol, remote viewing session, but it's remarkable to see him at work. And now he sent it to me when he had first done it, and he said, "Can you guess who this is?" or something like that. And honest to God, I knew Dick. I think I wrote to you. I knew within the first minute or two who it was.
Oh, I
I
didn't.
knew. I
So,
know. I knew.
what I was given a blind tasking, so I didn't know who gave it to me. Our tasker just sent me the target ID, which is alphanumerics, letters and numbers. And so I did a paper session, and in my paper session, I knew it was old. I knew it was like early part of the last century. I knew it was a time when some people used carts and some people used cars that were like cars that go bop, 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 like early cars. And I
Putt-putt.
knew it was in a place with a nice, like European cathedral. And then I saw a woman seated. And I got this tremendous feeling when I looked at her. My early probes were, hey, this woman is very spiritual power. Very, she's like doing readings or something. So I did a lot more work on that. And at some point, I said, I think I should do a whiteboard session on this. And they said, yeah, why don't you? So I set up two cameras, and I had already up into the point that I knew it was a woman who was doing readings, I just kind of redid that at the whiteboard, and then I took off. But the cool part was, I didn't know the life and times of Maria Orsic. I think I might have heard you mention her, but
Oh,
I.
probably. Yeah. I have to do something here. Someone wrote in, Frank. Okay, Frank, I'm going to do this here. This is a reminder to please state her proper ethnicity. Back in November 2021, Frank's got a long memory, during a program with Harry Cooper, Jeff said that she was Yugoslavian, but that ethnicity never existed. She was born in Zagreb, Croatia, when it was under the Austro-Hungarian rule, and she left this world when Croatia had a short period of statehood during World War II, just before the brutal communists committed horrifying crimes against humanity on all fleeing Germans, Croats, and Slovenes. So,
Who was that, Frank?
Frank.
I would ask Frank, maybe he can write in, because I just did the remote viewing, then I read a little bit about her. Do we know how she died? Because I
no, but I can tell you that she
did. The Russians, was she in a place where the Russians came and took over? Which I thought she was killed by the Russians.
And there are Go ahead. Go.
Some people think that she like ascended to another planet, that she was talking to aliens and she was taken up in a craft or I don't know, like the rapture or something. I thought she was killed.
That's not it.
But
okay.
Is it plausible? Okay. Here's my question. Is it plausible that she was in a place that the Russians came in at the end of World War II or some? Yeah. And
I wouldn't say is it plausible in war like that? I would have to say almost anything's plausible, possible. Did it happen? I don't know. I would think she would have been in a much safer environment than in a big city like Berlin that was being overrun. The word I have, now this may be a little folktale, and Frank, don't flip out, because we don't know. We're all in this together. But the word I had, and this goes back a long time ago, that she originally began, along with another woman, this woman was, by the way, incredibly beautiful, like sort of like E.T. beautiful, just like you've heard the stories, they're all just beautiful, perfect. She was building because she was receiving channeled information and blueprints, as it were, let's just call them blueprints, on how to build anti-gravitic craft. Now, I'm using the term anti-gravitic advisedly as well, too, because these craft were like what we'd call UFOs today. And she was building them in the 30s. And the SS found out about it and demanded that she cooperate with them and reveal to them the technology involved with building anti-gravity disks, craft, whatever shape you want to ascribe to them. And she apparently did what she was asked, gave up the material. So the SS was building UFOs, ETs type, you know, they're anti-gravitic craft. You think of ET UFOs. They were building them during the war, and Maria Orsic had a civilian group, and they were building their own ships as well. Some of these ships were said to be huge, 100 yards long, 200 yards long, half a mile long. They were enormous. That's what the word is. But again, this is through the mist, the fog of war. Now, at the end of the war, what allegedly is supposed to have happened is she left a note saying goodbye to all of her friends and saying she was going home. And people believe that they had built a craft, and it may have gone through a wormhole or whatever, but the home destination was Aldebaran.
Look up Aldebaran. Now we get to the book that Harry put out on the NASA guy.
Well, Clark McClellan, my old friend.
McClellan said Aldebaran.
Well, Clark always told me, he says, just remember, Jeff, it's Aldebaran. Don't forget that. Aldebaran. And he said that I knew him for a long 20 some years. Anyway, so that's the story that seems to be one of the most favored versions. She disappeared, was never seen again in the chaos of war, and it is thought that she and her friend and others went to Aldebaran, which is where the source of the channeled information was supposedly centered. It came from Aldebaran to her. And that's what is supposed to happen. However, we don't know. So your session could be completely right. I don't know. And all of you, I'd urge you to look at Dick's session. It's about 30 minutes long or so after the program or tomorrow, whenever. Look at it and watch how this happens. Watch the magic of remote viewing. It's right there in the video. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was. I'm not a good enough artist to really sketch how she looked, but I kind of got her, you know, I kind of, and
you
as
did.
I'm,
you did, yes.
And as I'm drawing, you know, and it was live at the whiteboard. So, and I, as I draw her hair, that's a form of probing. I'm getting idea. I'm questioning and getting ideas. So I had her, I thought she was doing like a seance, or I called it remote viewing, but they didn't call it remote viewing, or she was channeling something akin to all that, but she had her own thing. And I had her at a table doing seances. And then all of a sudden I got a really good visual. I looked and I was looking at a UFO. I thought,
right
in the midst of, you know, I have no idea what this is. I'm drawing a woman in a time when it's early 20th century architecture and cars that go chugga chugga, and out in the country they use carts with mules, and she's beautiful and she's doing seances, and then I look and there's a UFO, and I go, oh man. But when you're remote viewing, you're loath to do, like, don't give me a UFO. So I drew the UFO, and then I said, what, why am I seeing this? And the idea that came to me was she's interested in, she saw them, or she was getting information, she was trying to communicate with them, or she had some connection. So yeah, I did get a UFO connection. And then I said she was both afraid of the Germans but working with the Germans. So my idea of what was going on was this was too occult or too otherworldly, and she had to be kind of secretive about it.
Sure.
So,
well, the SS built a number of different models of craft predicated and based on the same advanced technology that allowed these craft to fly around defying gravity. You can find pictures of them. I have a video up. It shows two different pieces of black and white film, short little chunk, maybe a foot and a half long, showing these craft flying. And they have German markings on them. They obviously, it's real footage. You can tell by looking, it's not contrived. Although it could be made, that can't be dismissed. But it looks real to me. It always has. And there are two of them in that video. I'll see if I can find it for you. Go ahead, Dick.
But it was well before AI. Now in AI, you could order that up and have it printed out in 5 minutes, and it's, you know, it has that certain look. But I've seen that video that you've put up. It has a kind of a genuine quality to it. And that was like 10 years ago, I think, or longer. You put that up.
Oh yeah, and I got it. By the way, I have a third piece of video, and it's never been seen. It has been. I've seen it, but I haven't put it in that video. And I've got it, and it looks like the same craft, but there are people around it that are running. It looks like a state of chaos, and it's blurry, but it's the same ship, same craft. And my take is that Maria Orsic understood about wormholes, and that's how you get to faraway places very quickly. And Aldebaran was where she and her crew went in 1945. I just can't imagine her being stuck in a Berlin-like situation where the Russians are raping and pillaging. And you may have read that, and you may have gotten someone else's experience. Maybe it wasn't the same lady. I don't know. But what you describe in your session is obviously totally real, what happened in Germany, especially Berlin. Yeah. By the insane, raving hordes of Soviets.
Oh, that book, Hellstorm. Ooh, man,
oh, you can't. No, that book will change your life. You'll understand a little bit more than you could even imagine understanding about World War II and the truth.
What it's like to be in a city and have bombers come over every night and drop bombs on your city? Yeah, man. What war is just horrible. But yeah, that was an interesting remote view, and I'd love to hear. I've never there must be some experts on Maria Orsic. I'd like to have one contact me and tell me more. It was, I did the session, I read about her on Wikipedia or one website, and then we moved on to something else. So
right. Well, I would say our friend, my friend too, to a degree, and
yeah,
who sent me this would be certainly a prime source to go to. He would have great connections.
He told me one time that the Germans had craft in the 30s, late 30s, and that they were zipping around, and they discovered two things. That if their navigational, if their navigation was off by just a half a degree or a quarter of a degree, they would come back in a different time. So they'd pop back and they wouldn't be in Germany in the late 30s. They'd be in the, you know, 1980 or 2012. I'm not sure, but that if their navigation was off, that would put them in a different time. And he also said when they went to the moon and the Mars originally, that they discovered that humans, if they were not exposed to the Schumann resonance, that they would go barking mad, like they would just become unglued. So when you send astronauts into space, you have to have a Schumann resonance generator.
Interesting.
To keep them keeping running.
7 points.
As a matter of fact, I have one right here mm-hmm. within arm's reach. I have two. Mm-hmm. They, mm-hmm. The people I work for gave me two of them and said, plug these in, and I sleep better, and I keep one in my office when I work. I think it counteracts the Wi-Fi. The Schumann resonance.
Well, it's like Mother Earth's heartbeat. All right.
Yeah.
Think of it that way. That's one good way to think about it.
Yeah.
It's changed, though. It's not 7.83 like it used to be or whatever. It goes up and down. I don't know what it is now, but it's changed.
The sun has changed and the skies have changed. The sun used to be golden and warm and just make you feel great out in the sun on a summer day. And the skies were blue and the clouds were puffy white. The skies aren't blue like they used to be in the 50s and 60s. It's milky because of what they're putting in it. And the sun, I had a guy, a friend I work with from Ohio, came to Hawaii a couple weeks ago. And this isn't summer here. This is like late winter. And he said, oh, my God, when you go out in the sun, it's like this evil force beating down on you, just zapping you. He goes, I can't handle it. He really had a bad experience with the sun. The sun is changing.
It has already changed, and I concur 1,000%. I cannot go out. When I was a kid, and many of you listening, wherever you are around the world, we always used to go to the beach or the pool, whatever. And you'd lay out in the sun, and you could lay there, and it just felt so good, that sunlight on you. And it tanned you, golden tan. Now, when you go out, there are many days, and maybe this has to do with the ultraviolet B, UVB radiation, which used to be 6% is it. It's been measured as much as 45% now, according to Dane Wigington. 45% UVB is going to burn you right through your clothing. And that's what happens. Your skin will actually sting through your shirt if you're out in it. And you've had that happen. So it has changed. Oh, the whole UV spectrum is knocked off its axis. It's not what it used to be. It's different. I agree.
Well, if there's climate change, that's what's doing it. Not putting
climate
carbon
change.
Dioxide.
Uh-huh.
Climate
right.
change. Oh,
look,
my God, there's carbon dioxide is so bad.
How can anyone even think about planetary physics and not understand intuitively that climates, wherever they are, climate cycles change over the millennia? over the million years, in this case, 4.5 billion years, how can a climate not change? Of course it changes. And right now, according to going back with ice cores, I think 20 million years, something like that, we are at the bottom of the cycle. And so any increase up toward where the normal normative temperature used to be of the planet, any increase moving up is claimed to be evidence of global warming. No, it's just a normal cyclical climatic shift. And it's moving upward now. It's way down below its norm. It's like several degrees below where it used to be. So as it moves back up toward its historic level, people start screaming about climate change, global warming. It's not. It's not at all.
And they, you know, Hawaiian Electric just shut down. They had a little coal or oil-fired power plant that gives us some power. If you look on Google Earth at the island of Oahu and zoom out to the whole Pacific Ocean, Oahu is this tiny, tiny speck. It is just vast amounts of ocean and fresh air and a huge ecological system. And you have this tiny little speck with light, little tiny bit of carbon dioxide coming out. Mm-hmm. Is that's going to affect the whole...
Blaming carbon dioxide is so transparently disgusting, I can't even explain it. It's just ridiculous. It's the controllers. Yeah. They tell people, they'll make any kind of shit up, excuse me, they want, and they'll just repeat it over and over again on the mainstream media, and the majority will eventually adopt it as a form of reality. So what do they do? It's very simple.
Well, they've manipulated the media so that people have, there's two camps, and you watch one station and they reinforce a view over and over again and tell you how bad the other view is, and then the other stations give the opposing view and reinforce that over and over again, and they play the other one. Can you imagine when we were doing news if like Walter Cronkite would have said Tom Brokaw last night reported ha ha ha, you know, and like, and Tom Brokaw said Walter Cronkite tried to claim. And they would never talk about, you never, like whatever station you were at in Las Vegas, you would never play a clip from the opposing station. This is, you just do your own. It's like, Fox News, all they do is they, all day long, they play MSNBC and CNN and ridicule. And CNN and MSNBC.
They actually,
play
I don't
Fox
know this.
News.
Dick, they actually play clips and then ridicule them from the other competitions?
Yes. Yes, they put a lower third, you know, and they'll say CNN, you know, spouts nonsense. And so they will endlessly play CNN commentators on Fox News and go, well, as CNN reported last night, and then they get people on to die, to talk about why that's so stupid and why the CNN commentators are idiots in the MSNBC.
Well, see,
and then
you,
MSNBC.
You,
yeah,
yeah.
Does that for Fox News, and it's like
you get it. I mean, and many of you listening understand the game afoot here. You know exactly what they're doing. This is, it's such a, boy, if Pavlov were alive, he would be on the floor just howling.
Yeah, Bernays, the whole
all of them, all of them.
Yeah, well, they invented. I mean, they designed it. So I'm reading this really good book called. And I got a really interesting insight because of conversations with our good friend that tells me the bigger picture and how the world works. So this book is called The Box, and it's about the development of the shipping container. It's an entire book about, and I just find it fascinating.
That's very interesting. I get it.
Huh. Yeah, about, okay, you had world trade that was done by sailing ships or cargo ships, and they would pack bulk cargo in, and they would have longshoremen and stevedores. They would have dock workers. A ship would come in, and they'd have to pull it out by parcel by parcel. And the dock workers had really strong unions, and owning a ship a lot of time was in port, going from port to port, because they'd put stuff in. They have to put the heaviest in the bottom and then sort it out on the dock. And a lot of it got stolen, and World Trade was very cumbersome. And along about at the end of World War II, we had all these Liberty ships. And so they were thinking, God, could we make a box that we could put on the ship? And but the ships were all different sizes. The box were all different sizes. And so this one really smart guy named Malcolm McLean started Sealand, and he thought, what if we could make all the boxes the same? And so it began in the Vietnam War. They started Vietnam was just a logistical nightmare because third world country, and they were shipping all this stuff over, just like tons and tons and shiploads of shiploads that would be stacked up in at Saigon. They didn't have a big harbor and try to get it in. So they made Cameron Bay, and then they started doing containers. And then it's just interesting how the world changed when they made container ships and standardized containers that were unloaded with the same cranes in Singapore, the same cranes in China, the same cranes in Vietnam, and and ports that had been big ports like New York, San Francisco, and London didn't upgrade to do the containers, and they got past Liverpool. They just got they had tremendous economic hardship because they got passed by. But okay, I'm really long-winded to make an interesting point. There's something called the ISO, the International Standardization Office, or ISO, International Standardization Organization. It's the world body that standardizes things. And I know of ISO because of something to do with cryptos. And I wasn't aware that it was mandating standardization back in the 1950s. So somebody designed the shipping system probably in the 1950s or earlier, that would allow manufacturing in China to be done very cheaply and then shipped in these container ships over to America and Europe to sell all that. Well, the way it really started was back in the Vietnam War, because this guy had a contract to ship container loads full of uniforms, weapons, ammunition, food, everything for the GIs in Vietnam. So he was making a lot of money, and he was making money even if the ships came back empty. So he's looking at it going, I have these empty containers coming back. What could I put on them? And he thought, I could go have stuff made in Japan. And since the ships are already paid for, it would all be profit. So that was when you started getting Sony transistor radios, TVs, and Japan flourished, and the container ship industry came about, and then they could move everything over to China, all the manufacturing. But this was planned, and it was implemented by the ISO, the International Standards Organization, and part of it had to do with Maersk, which is the Danish shipping giant, and this is Danish royalty. So right. All the royalty is doing this. All right, so jumping ahead to cryptocurrencies, which has been what I've been studying the past 7 years. There are certain tokens that are what they call ISO 222 compliant. And that means the International Standards Organization, just like they standardize container shipping to change the whole world and eliminate the manufacturing base of the United States and move it to Europe, they've decided what the financial system is going to be. And just today's Monday, last night in Europe, European banks started transmitting payments under ISO 222 protocols using cryptocurrency tokens that are ISO compliant. And so this is something that was planned by the people that run the world, and several of those would be XLM, called Stellar, XRP, which is by the Ripple Foundation, and Hedera Hashgraph, and a couple of others. So that's going to be the standard for transmitting the tokenization of the human race. And so the Bretton Woods, these guys, Jeff, plan the world so far, and it's so 50 years in advance, and none of us know what's going on behind the scenes. Like, they knew the dollar at the end of World War II. Okay, we're going to use the U.S. dollar for world trade. So it's the Bretton Woods Agreement. Okay, you guys can print dollars, and it'll be based on some gold, and the dollar will be the world reserve currency, and, you know, good for you,
yeah.
America.
Yeah, right.
Well, the dollar is, the de-dollarization is underway, and when it happens, Americans are going to wake up and go, holy crap, what happened to our standard? Well, the standard of living is already done, but instead of dollars, it's going to be Bitcoin, and it's going to be lesser transactions through this ISO 2022 tokens. Believe me now or believe me later, because that's what I study and that's what I'm an expert in. So there's a computation that has to be done, and then when you complete that block, you get a reward of a certain number of Bitcoins. In April, that is, it's called the halving. For as much work as you do to create a Bitcoin, you get half as much. And that's why we're at a run-up. It's been 72,000 per Bitcoin. The next halving will be in 2028, and after that one, it will take 100 years to mine the last Bitcoin. So when there's one more Bitcoin to mine the whole thing, it'll take 100 years. And that will be the lifespan of Bitcoin. And it will be that if you have one Bitcoin, you will be able to just bank that somewhere and draw off it and take loans against it. It's some call it will be unobtainium. You won't be able to buy Bitcoin on an exchange. It'll only be private sale.
What are we to think now? This guy who allegedly invented Bitcoin, there's one Asian guy who supposedly did it. What's the truth?
Satoshi Nakamoto is the name.
Did he really do this, or did he do it under the... Go ahead.
There was no Satoshi Nakamoto. There's no one. There's a guy that just claimed, a guy named Craig Wright claimed he was Satoshi Nakamoto and he had a bunch of Bitcoin, and he was trying to prove it in court. And he got slapped down and sent right. home with his tail between right. his legs. We remote viewed Satoshi Nakamoto. Dash Smith and I did. You know what we got? I got a
vapor?
DARPA think tank. I had really smart people like PhDs in economics and computer science designing something that in the 70s and 80s, mind you, at like under DARPA control. So this was the people that run the world roll out technology, and they had this new financial system ready, but they needed to wait until computing power caught up to it. So what they needed was a really fast handheld computer that you can hold in your hand, which is called the iPhone or the smartphone. And now people can get a digital ID and do financial transactions. The computing power needed to do financial transactions is in the palm of your hand. And we're moving to that very quickly. I would get out of dollars and I would get out, well, you know, I got out of the stock market, my 401k years ago.
Yeah.
And gold, you know, I was a gold fan based on your program, Jeff, and gold did really good for me. I bought some and turned it around and bought a house or a small condo, not a house. Nobody can afford a house anymore.
You bought an EMF trap.
Yeah, I bought a little box, a little microwave box to live in. So,
you've got the canopy, so that should give you peace and security at least somewhat when you're asleep.
I need to buy a new canopy because I ripped it. I got up
when
in the night or
you
something.
Ripped it?
Well,
You can't sew it
it's.
back together?
Oh, I probably can. Okay. It's like it's hung from one point from the middle of the bed, and
Yeah.
then it radiates out in a circle and expands
Yeah, I
out.
know. Yeah.
And where it connects, there's a ring that's about maybe 18 inches across, and
Yeah.
it tore away from that ring. So there's a hole, it's just right up there. Because I've stressed it out too much because I was pulling on it and pulled it too much. Kind of
So
getting up in the middle of the
it's like,
night.
okay, for all of you listening, it's like a mosquito net. At
Yeah.
the top of the net, there's a hoop. We'll call it a ring, a hoop, maybe 24 inches in diameter, something like that, 20. And then the net hangs over that in a circular cascade, and you put it over the sides and ends of your bed. So it's like a round mosquito net, but it's designed to block EMF. What did you do with it?
Well, it's still there. I need to either
Oh.
fix it or get a. It was just a few days ago. But when I got that, Jeff, I was skeptical. You suggested it, and I looked the people up online. I talked with them, and I ordered one.
Yeah.
I think it was like $1,000
Oh,
or
it was
hammered.
almost 1,000 or close to it. Yeah, it was way up
Yeah.
there.
So when it came, I put it up, and I have a really good EMF meter. And I put the EMF meter, and it went way down, but it was still showing some. It was safe levels. And then I realized, oh, if you seal it, I got the pad underneath, and I sealed it under the
You have
pad, and when
to.
you closed it up,
Yeah.
it dropped to zero. It went to absolute green.
Yeah.
So it does
Well,
work.
yes. If you're going to get another one, send that one over here. I'll get it repaired. I'll use it. That's great.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I mean, whatever. Don't throw it out, for goodness sakes. I'll fix it.
yeah. It's really fine mesh material, and
Oh, I
I
know.
just
Yeah.
kind of it's make it's kind of cozy. You pull that tight, but yeah, it's a good thing. So,
It comes,
what's
for
happened?
those of you who are interested, it comes from lessemf.com. I have no stake in the company. It's a good
Yeah.
company. They have clothing, they have a lot of things. In this EMF nightmare we live in, look at their material. You'll find this. It's like a canopy, a mosquito net, but it blocks EMF. You've got to get a piece to put under your bed, though. That's what he's talking about, to make it a
Yeah,
complete enclosure.
there's a pad. Yeah, there's a pad that you put. You have to lift your. My mattress is on the floor, so we lift the mattress up, put that under, and then it comes out around the mattress, and then you tuck the EMF. But it really does. I'll vouch for it. I'm not affiliated with the company. I don't get a kickback. But you take a good EMF meter and put it in there. When it's sealed up, it doesn't. It cuts them all out. So, yeah, it's good. I use it to remote view too. Quiets thing
That would be
down.
a good place to do that, sure. Okay, so it
Yep.
sounds like you're feeling good enough, and you're back out in the water a little
Oh yeah, I'm
bit.
swimming every day, and I'm doing vinyasa yoga at home. So I'm getting, yeah, I am better. I'm getting better slowly but surely. So
Very good.
Remote viewing as a for a business, like I have subscribers. Oh, let me futureforecastinggroup.com. Or you can go to the gateway is futureforecasters.com, and we have
Can you
paid
get
subscribers this year.
ffg.com or .net or
I don't think so.
.info? No.
Yeah, I don't think so. So, yeah, futureforecastinggroup.com to remote view for to every week I do a session that people watch. That's a lot of work. Wow, are we done
Oh,
already? That
yeah.
was quick. My clock is slow. I thought we had like
Yeah.
8 more minutes. Well, it's great to talk with you, Jeff. I'm sorry I haven't. I kind of I've been really, really busy, but I've been okay, and I know you worry about me, and I need to call you more often and check in.
Okay.
I've just
That's
been
good.
Really swamped with work.
I know. Well, you just take care of yourself, and say All hi right. to Mimi.
I will.
All right. Very good.
Talk
Thanks,
to you later.
Richard.
Aloha.
Very good.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, so there's a fascinating subject, Maria Orsic. There's a lot of folk stuff about her. They don't really know. They're guessing. There are some reports that are credible. She did exist. She was involved with flying saucers, if you will. And it's a remarkable story. And she did disappear, along with others that she was involved with. I just can't imagine her being dumb enough, if that's the right expression, to be stuck in Berlin when the hordes were coming in. She's just too special. Anyway, hope you enjoyed that, and do look at Dick's session. It's fascinating to watch that man work. He is a wizard. Okay, thank you. It's Monday night. That means Tuesday morning is hopefully sure to follow. Talk to you tomorrow night. Take care. Thanks for being here, and please try to prepare as much as you can. Talk soon.